Good evening and welcome to Couch Potato Radio. Derek Hansen with you on the mighty 790 and 104.7 KFGO. Gift your time is 6:13. Beautiful evening out there. I just have a picture of people out there grilling, kind of enjoying the evening. A perfect night for that, as long as the wind doesn't pick up too much. I know Too Tall has some details throughout the day that's going to pick up a little bit later. Not a big surprise. It's windy here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, throughout the Red River Valley. That's how it works. But, boy, what a beautiful Friday. It felt like kind of one of those lake season type of Fridays, people getting out of town. I know I felt that when I was driving in today, that is for sure. Got a busy night for you. Jeff Kolpak, host of the golf show at 740 The Fan. He's got Tom Hoagie tomorrow. We'll preview that. Also want to get his thoughts. Obviously, he's been a long time beat writer for NDSU for the Forum newspaper, and this Grant Nelson story tomorrow night, Roll Tide. Yeah, how about that? Alabama taking on UConn, and that'll be here on KFGO after. And actually, just to kind of get the whole details, don't want to get too complicated here. After Twins baseball tomorrow, game two of that three-game series, the first home series of the season for the Minnesota Twins at Target Field, 12:30 is the pregame show, 1:10 is the first pitch. After the postgame show, we're going to head into NCAA coverage, so we'll probably catch the, you know, kind of the middle part of most likely the first game, which is going to be a pretty good game within itself too, with NC State in action. Kind of a surprise. I got my producers in here tonight and got a little training session going on here on this beautiful Friday evening. We got Thomas Fox and Reggie Funk with us. Any of you guys have NC State in this going up against Purdue?
No. No.
NC State. No. How's your bracket, Reggie Funk? Anything?
My bracket was busted when Houston lost.
Yeah, mine too.
I was sure that they were going to win.
That first Thursday night of the Sweet 16, like, uh-oh. And then the second Thursday night, I just threw my bracket away. It was over. Jack Michaels and I were texting and laughing about it. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's over for you. And so Purdue and NC State's the first game, so we'll have that for you. And then we'll have those games also on the Fan, and then we have Force Hockey tonight on the Fan, also Force Hockey tomorrow, the second-to-last series of the regular season for the Force before they head into the postseason of the USHL. Also coming up tonight, beyond Jeff Kolpak, 7 o'clock, we get you ready for the Outdoors Weekend, Outdoors Live with Doug Lear at 7 o'clock, and then KFGO Today, a look at our best of our live and local shows throughout the day today, a little Grant Nelson talk coming up there too. But no, so I want to talk a little golf, Tom Hoagie, also former Bison, now superstar, has made a name for himself, starting with the Sweet 16 with Grant Nelson, the Devil's Lake native, coming up. Should be a lot of fun to get his thoughts on what's going on with the tournament there as well. Thomas, your Brewers split with the Twins. They blew that game on Tuesday. You had a sweep of the
really
Twins.
They really did. Jeffers just just sucker punched us right in the face. But to be fair, though, I was impressed with the rookie Jackson Churio, first major league home run. He's having a very good start to his season, and I feel like he could be in contention for rookie of the year. But he's got a lot of company with him, and he joins himself in some good company. He joins, I believe it was Robin Yount for like the
Yount's not a bad player himself. That's for sure. One of the all time greats as far as Brewers are concerned.
Yeah, it was an Instagram post, so.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. Well, the Twins have played a couple of good teams. You know, Brewers have been playing well to start the season. Cleveland has come out of nowhere. I think we thought that they'd be the team that was going to challenge the Twins the most so far, and they've really come out swinging. I mean, they are really playing well. So is Detroit. Detroit lost a game they shouldn't have lost to the Mets last night.
Detroit's off to a phenomenal start.
It's amazing.
They do have a lot of young talent on the roster, like Tarik Skubal, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. Their rotation is really underrated, and their hitting has also been pretty solid. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, among others. And I feel like if they can keep this up, I know it's only April, but they could potentially be a dangerous team in the AL Central.
Yeah, there's 157 games left. You're right. I mean, we shall see. I'm not going to hit the panic. What you can really see from the Twins and listening to much of the game yesterday, yeah, Byron Buxton looks like he's healthy. Hopefully he can stay that way. Carlos Correa is Carlos Correa. You know what you're going to get. He's off to a better start. Usually he's a pretty slow starter. He's had some key hits so far.
Yeah.
And they need to get more of that consistency, especially with runners in scoring position. Now, Ryan Jeffers came through against the Brewers on Wednesday. That was good. But they can't get that down consistently. And I think this is showing the guy who really was the straw that stirred the drink last year for the Minnesota Twins was Royce Lewis at the end. And with him out, that is going to be a huge thing as far as being able to protect the other guys in the lineup. Hopefully he'll get back healthy here. He's been hit with the injury bug, much like Buxton, throughout his career, and they really need that to be fixed. I'm really hoping that he can get healthy because I don't think they can win the American League Central without Royce Lewis, more so than any other guy in that lineup.
Yeah, especially when you have the Royals and the Tigers now competing, because those two teams, they're looking pretty dangerous. Like, after the Royals offseason, they added a lot of good pieces. Velasquez.
Well, Bobby Witt Jr. might be a guy who can become superstar.
He's already off to a hot start this year again. He was in contention for AL Rookie of the Year when Julio Rodriguez won. So, just think about it. This guy could be a generational talent for the Royals. And I'm sure a lot of KC fans are just so spoiled right now. They got a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and now they're on the verge.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's the face of the NFL right now.
Pretty much. Yeah. And they're now on the verge of possibly having one of the faces of the American League.
And it's a very good point, Thomas, because I think Bobby Witt Jr. is the type of guy, with the way he plays, that five-tool player, being able to do pretty much everything, run the bases, hit for home run, hit for power, hit for gap power with doubles and triples and stuff like that, the speed that he shows, stealing bases. Yeah, I think you're right. This is what the Twins wanted from Buxton, to be kind of the face with that type of thing.
Yeah.
He's a not injured Buxton right now, is what it comes down to with Bobby Witt Jr. So here you are, Kansas City Royals, sitting with this superstar who locked up like a lifetime deal too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
amazing.
A pretty good deal.
And he's getting paid.
So if they can get guys around him, the Royals, much like they did in 2016, coming out of, well, I shouldn't say out of nowhere because they finished running up before, but then finally won the World Championship. They're kind of doing it right down there, and they got a guy, I think, let's face it, I can say this comfortably with all security, he's a good-looking guy, too, that baseball should be marketing. As much as they're marketing Aaron Judge, I know he's in a smaller market, but like we said, if the NFL can market Patrick Mahomes to be the most recognizable face in the National Football League right now, not named Kelce Swift,
right?
I think that that is something that they need to look at with this young man, too, because as a guy who doesn't want to see him because he plays well against everyone. He seems to really like playing against the Minnesota Twins. And he's been the last 2 years crushing the Twins. That is a guy that certainly can be marketable for Major League Baseball. So, again, Twins the day off today. I hate this. One thing I do miss about the Metrodome is they could have a weekend home series to start the schedule and not have that opening day rain delay cushion that they want to make here, so there's no baseball. The good news is we do have Timberwolves basketball tonight here on KFGO. It's a little later start, but, hey, it's Friday. Get to sleep in tomorrow, 8:45. It's an intriguing game. Because the Timberwolves now number one all alone after Denver fell to the Clippers. Way to go, Clippers, by the way.
Yeah.
Who are trying to scratch and claw their way in. But so that was a big win without doing anything last night. The Suns are trying to play so they don't have to play a play-in game, trying to get in one of those top six seeds. And they look good one night, and then they look awful the next night. And it's just very inconsistent, which would pretty much sum up Kevin Durant's career, I think.
And I felt like that was a big thing coming into the offseason when they got Bradley Beal, was that they're like, you got your big three, but now
and
who's
they
on the bench?
They've barely been able to click together. And at times when they've all been together, they don't click. And a lot of times this season, they haven't been all together. They've been plagued with injuries, and it hasn't worked in their favor. So, at this point in the season, it's go time for the Suns. They got to hit the ground running. They can't be going to the playoffs limping. If you want to win a championship with this big three, you really just got to get going. Because right now, it is go time for all these teams.
Well, you can't waste any time in the Western Conference, for sure. I mean,
with how competitive it is, you have to be hitting the ground running come playoff time.
Everyone's saying, who do you want the Wolves to match up against? I'm going 1-10. I'm like, none of it looks real appealing right now. I mean, it's all going to be tough. It's going to be a grind if you're going to win 16 games to get to the championship, that's for sure. Rick wants to get back to baseball. How you doing, Rick? Welcome to Couch Potato Radio. Derek Hanson with you, Tom Fox, Reggie Funk producing tonight. How you doing?
Hey, thanks, Derek and Tom. I'm just kind of going back to the Twins schedule. I don't understand. I see why, especially when you have an outdoor stadium, having one day off, but why do they take the second day off? Why wouldn't they play a three-game series Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and have Sunday for the backup in case they don't get one of those 3 days in? Because they're only giving themselves an option for one day.
I totally understand what you're saying, but it's Sunday gate, right? I mean, you're going to get a lot more chance to get more people on a Sunday than you probably will on a Friday, because they're hoping for...
That's the reason is finances, more or less.
Well, I guess so. I think your idea is right. I mean, and but there also is something, because they'll consider, like, if they made Thursday's game up on a Sunday, they still, in their mind, those tickets are still Thursday's tickets. That's the opener, right? Because traditionally, I mean, you'll see it all around Major League Baseball. You got a team that doesn't expect to do well. Opening day of baseball is still opening day of baseball. They'll get 36,000 fans. The next day, they'll get 15,000. And that's so they want to make sure that that opening day ticket that is sold is going to be used for opening day. I mean, when you're down there, even though you don't have the opener, I mean, it, you walk around the Twins front office and say, happy opener, because it's their home opener, and it is a big deal to them, where you and I are just sitting there listening to the games going, I don't care if it's a Thursday or Friday game. I just want to listen to a game all weekend long, right? So,
yeah, but you hit on the head there, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it through that seriously. So, yeah, you explained it well.
Yeah,
so
it's that's the way they look at it, because the ticket sales that you have for Thursday would be used on Sunday, which would be the opener, and then, you know, so the opener then would be Friday, and there won't be as many people there unless they bought another ticket. So it gets kind of confusing that way. But it's a good thought, Rick. I think you're right, I think, as far as trying to get prepared for it. Then you could have a year like that one year in Detroit where I'll never forget, because we have to schedule around these things, right? It gets to be a pain in the butt for us if we have to make up these games as well, right? We get advertisers, whatever. And that one weekend, I don't know what it was, like 2006 or something, the Twins got snowed out all weekend long in Detroit. All three games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, had to make up all those games throughout the season. Now, they played against each other 19 times, so it was easier to have day-night doubleheaders back then, where we have more of the... I'm kind of curious. I want to get around the horn here. We'll start with you, Rick, and then we'll let you go. But the Dodgers come to Target Field Monday, Tuesday. This would be a marquee, like June, late June type of interleague game. Instead, it's Monday and Tuesday during the school year for the I don't really care if teams have to play each other every year in Major League Baseball, much like football. It's fine rotating it. It doesn't have to be the NBA and the NHL where you play everyone once a year. What's your thought on that, Rick?
To me, it doesn't matter. Actually, I kind of like the National League coming over. And now that they expanded it to play each team every couple of years.
Well, they play each other. They play everyone now, so you don't play play your American League or your division rival as much anymore. That's what I don't like about it.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, to me, it got to be too much. Many of the
19 games was a lot. I don't disagree with you there. So
okay, no problem.
Yep. No,
Derek and I've talked to you many times over the years, and you and I agree on a lot of things, but we do a couple of things we do disagree
on. I don't think there's really a right or I don't think there's a right or wrong here. I think you bring up a good point. It's nice to see if they want to do more like interleague games or whatever with like certain teams, that's fine. I just think, do you have to play everyone? What was wrong with the NFL? I think he has it right, where you play one division from the other conference, and then they'll sprinkle in maybe just natural rivals in the middle of it. You know, like the Milwaukee-Minnesota thing makes sense geography-wise, right? Because even if you're not playing the National League Central, that you're playing the National League West, you would still play Milwaukee every year, and I think that did make some sense. But
is that when they first started going to the American National League playing against each other? Ain't that the way it was?
It was, but now they're playing everyone every year. So this year they have the Dodgers at home. Next year they'll have a couple games at Dodger Stadium. Wonder if that's as necessary. But hey, thanks so much for your phone call, Rick. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for everything.
You bet. Have a great weekend. 237-5948. This is Couch Potato Radio. Derek Hansen with you. Jeff Kolpak's going to join us in just a bit. Tom Fox is with us, Thomas Fox. And also, we got Reggie Funk. Your thoughts on this, the interleague play thing? It just seems weird to have the Dodgers now.
To be fair, I kind of like it because it adds, I'd say, diversity to the schedule, but I could see why people don't like it, because they kind of maybe want more, I guess.
Do you want to play the Guardians and the Tigers and stuff right away? If I was a ticket seller, I'd want to see the Dodgers in July.
Yeah, you want to see them.
Not something different in July.
You want to see them when it's, and especially if it's like the Dodgers this year, when you got Mookie Betts, you know, Freddie Freeman,
Ohtani, yeah. His translator.
You want to see him in the nice July, you know, you get the Friday night, go there Friday night and get a nice fireworks show. You want to see them then. You don't want to see them like when it's cold outside.
Right,
at
that
noon
is true.
On Tuesday.
You are right about that.
I think the schedule should be sandwiched. You want to play your division rivals, some of the American League teams early, and then late when it matters in September and August.
Yeah.
And you want to get all the interleague stuff, all the different stuff, the kind of the bouquet type of stuff
kinda
in
like
the middle
what,
of the summer.
Kind of like what they do for football where you play your division rival in the last week of the season.
Right, that's a great point.
That's what I like about the NFL because it isn't playing – you're not playing a random opponent in Week 18 because if you were to play a rival, like say you're competing for a division title, it would actually matter. And that's when the ratings go up. And I feel like the NFL does a great job of doing that. The MLB could definitely do the same, but – on the other hand, the diversity definitely is
different uniforms coming in.
Phenomenal really with like playing interleague teams.
And you get a lot of Dodger fans that do come into Target Field too. We got the CJ on the road. Thanks for being with us here on Couch Potato Radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off the interleague play. You know, it's great that the Dodgers. I like playing them every year. You know, the Dodgers coming to Minnesota and then Minnesota going out to Los Angeles. It's just too bad, you know, maybe if they're coming in April this year, maybe, you know, in 2 years it'll be July, you know, because it's always, it feels like that Yankees, the Red Sox, whenever they come to Target Field, you know, early April, May, and it just doesn't draw the crowd, you know,
right.
Premium tickets. So if they could sprinkle it in, you know, okay, we'll give you an early game this season, and then 2 years, you know, the Dodgers are in Target Field, you know, like you said, July, August. And that's, I like the interleague play, you know, scrapping, you know, why send Pablo against the, you know, Tigers three times a year if they're playing 19 games. So it's kind of that, you know, diversity in the schedule would be nice. Yeah. You know,
I think we're on the same. I think we've come to a consensus here on Couch Potato Radio. Play your division rivals, some American League teams early, get all the fun stuff in the summer. And then when it really matters in late August and September, play who your division rivals again, right? I mean, that makes sense. That's where the
when the season's on the line.
Yep. Yes.
It's always, you know, it's that game 163 mentality. It's always nice to have something on the line to start here, you know, baseball, football season in October is always a great time of the year. So thanks again for having me on.
Hey, thanks for calling in. And welcome back to Couch Potato Radio. Derek Hansen with you. Thomas Fox is producing. It's a pleasure to have with us Jeff Kopak, longtime beat writer for the NDSU for the Forum and also a golf advocate and host of the golf show on our sister station 740 The Fan tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And, well, Jeff, you got yourself a good one tomorrow. You got probably the cream of the crop for what we want to hear about golf in the region.
Tom Hoge, heard of him?
Yeah. Well, he is kind of the talk of the town. Hey, we can't go a weekend without looking at him in the leaderboard right now. That he's kind of that. It's fun to have that local angle too.
Yeah, he's made the cut in 10 of his last 11 tournaments probably playing some of the best golf in his 10-year career on the PGA Tour, which is really saying something since he's had career earnings, I think, north of $18 million or something like that. And, you know, really a guy out of TCU who you never projected would be this kind of a success story. I mean, you know, he was really good in college, but, you know, it's not like he won an NCAA title or anything. Very good player and has just gotten better. And I think his strength, really, when it comes down to it, guy's so mentally tough, you know, and when you get out on the PGA Tour, it's, you can be a good golfer, but if you're not mentally tough, you'll fold in a hurry. Cause I mean, just look at all the crowds you have to be around and play in front of and all that stuff and the travel and all those things. And if you can't handle stuff like that, there's no way you'd make it.
You know, it's interesting with his personality. Cause let's look at some of the great ones we thought might be in this position, the David Schultz, the Josh Persons, the Kane Hansons, right? I mean, there's so many good ones around there. And he kind of came out. He was good. We all knew he was good. But he was the guy who stood out amongst all of them. Did that surprise you at all? Or did you kind of see that little fire in him that we maybe didn't see with the other guys?
Well, I guess your question is what separates him from those other guys from this area who were on the doorstep and gave pro golf a run?
They were right there. They were right there on the doorstep too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they all hit it a country mile. They're all good with their irons. Maybe Tom's just better with his long irons. He's just a better iron player, better striker. If I were to point to one thing, I think that would be it. He's been really good in the last 2-3 months in that regard and in that stat. I think, what is he, second from approach from 100 yards or something? And he's always been considered a good ball striker as far as the long irons. Maybe that is the one thing that separates him from those other guys. But, you know, that being said, you know, Tom playing some of the best stretch of his life right now, and he still didn't get in the Masters. You know, he's been there the last 2 years because he won AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am a couple years ago. Had to finish in the top 50 of the official world golf ranking, finished 52nd. And even with this great run of golf, he had a hard time moving up. And we will talk about the the official golf ranking and how it's computed, because it is confusing.
Yeah, it's like Segarin ratings type of situation.
I don't know. Yeah, even he's a accounting and finance type of major guy at TCU. I think he got his degree in a field similar to that. I know he studied those two. I mean, he's a smart guy. And when an accounting and finance guy from TCU has a hard time figuring out the math, I mean, who does know it?
Oh, that's a very good point. Well, Jeff Kolpak with us again, host of the Golf Show and 740 The Fan, longtime writer for the Forum and sports section there. It seems like he's really, you know, from when I first, you know, obviously when they're younger, kids are interviewed and whatever, it's a little different story, but he really seems to be comfortable in his own skin, too. I mean, I've heard him on the Power Trip Morning Show. He just is loving life, and, well, he should. He's playing golf and making millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, I think he's, you know, a little more outgoing than he was when he first started getting on the tour. You know, he's a very even-keeled guy. It's hard to really, you know, get him to talk about the highs and lows. It's all about, well, this tournament didn't go so well. I need to work on this. And pretty matter of fact about that. So I think maybe that's another reason too why he's so mentally strong, is that he just doesn't let the highs get too high. And if you have a tough tournament, you put it behind you as soon as, you know, it's like the cornerback that gets burned on the deep route, man. You got to put that behind you right away. And I think in the game of golf, he does that pretty well.
When you look at what the next step for him, because you mentioned, I think, you know, that second shot's so important. I mean, you golf a lot more than I do. I kind of gave up golf for pontooning. It's less frustrating, but I still enjoy it whenever I get the other friends, right? I mean, socializing. But I think that is the kind of the thing. If he's going to be in certain tournaments where he can get that iron game with his second shot, getting close to the pin, that's probably we're going to see him more and more on Sundays being in contention.
Well, and again, he has been in contention, you know, here right. And there for the last couple months. You know, and Brandel Chamblee, who I think on the Golf Channel is one of the great golf commentators out there and one of the great golf minds, and especially in the media setting, he pegged him to, you know, to win the Arnold Palmer tournament. I mean, he predicted him on a Wednesday, and it was a course that Tom has a course record at TPC Sawgrass in Florida, and I think Brandel said he just has the game and the shot making ability to win this tournament. He was in contention until the weekend before a couple things went the other way. But he's getting his name out there a little more, I think. And now he's not Rory, you know. He's not the spokesman. He's not Rory. He's not Justin Thomas. Not Ricky Fowler or anything like that. But I think he's that next level of player that, you know, could conceivably win a major here.
When you look at everything that's going on with the world of golf too, it's an interesting time for him to kind of make his name in there. You know, Scottie Scheffler, everyone's kind of talking about him right now. He's been hot. Mm-hmm. And there's an opportunity here to get noticed too, right? I think golf is looking for its next superstar.
Well, you're talking about, you know, the LIV Tour and these LIV guys, they go on the tour. I mean, all those big names, DeChambeau, John Rahm, Mickelson, but nobody ever sees them. I mean, I've never watched a LIV tournament. I've seen some highlights, but I couldn't even tell you where to find it. And these guys joined this tour and they've disappeared. And I think the golf ratings have echoed that similarly in that they're down. I mean, and the players acknowledge that the golf ratings are way down and the popularity is down because you have now two separate tours, one of which you never see. I mean, do we ever see Dustin Johnson play golf anymore?
No.
Except for a major?
No, not good.
Nobody does. Yeah, it's certainly not good for the game. And I know the two sides have been trying to figure out how to create a merger here. I think there's getting to be a little more urgency on that front when the ratings are coming in way down from what they were before. So that'll be, and we'll talk with Tom about that. Tom rejected a LIV Tour invite. I mean, he got an offer, and he turned it down. So we'll talk with Tom about that.
Very interesting. I'm going to be curious to hear what he has to say. Again, that's the Golf Show tomorrow. Tom Hoge is going to join Jeff Kolpak, and you kind of had a co-host with you too, right?
Mark Johnson, yeah. Mark's going to be in studio.
I always enjoy when you bring him in. Yeah, I haven't talked to him.
Oh, yes.
He's
a natural for that. In fact, well, he was on the ground floor of the show, you know, 23 years ago. So Mark knows his golf, and he knows his radio.
No, that is for sure. Well, I'm looking. Do you think, I mean, final thing on golf here before I got to ask you, obviously, about tomorrow night's big Bama game featuring a former Bison that's kind of taking the region by storm again. But if there's a good Masters, that certainly can help. I mean, I just enjoy that tournament for all the obvious reasons. And I certainly like it when you have a good, tough match on a late Sunday compared to a blowout. And it really, and I think that kind of gets people really set for the whole summer if there's a good Masters on TV.
Yeah, and again, you know, it starts next week, and it's kind of the rite of spring, I think, that Kentucky Derby, when
right.
The Masters and then the first Saturday in May, I think signifies that, okay, spring's here, and let's go. So courses are starting to open up around the area, so, you know, let's go. Golf is here.
Jeff Kolpak, the host of the Golf Show, tomorrow on 740 The Fan at 10 a.m. Tom Hoge, along with Mark Johnson, hanging out, talking all things golf. And, well, it shouldn't be too long. We could use a little rain, obviously. That would be nice.
Yeah,
I mean,
just to wash this stuff off. I agree.
Yeah, just to get a green or whatever, that would be nice. And I know for the lake area, we could certainly use some more water in the lake, too. So a green things up would be nice here. Hopefully, a little bit in the forecast, not enough, but we need a lot. Some April showers, you know the cliche anyway. So hopefully that does happen. Do got to ask you about tomorrow night's game between Alabama. It's interesting with Grant Nelson, the fact that, you know, former Bison, sometimes people don't like the transfer portal. They almost boo, but it's hard not to pull for the kid from Devils Lake, North Dakota right now, isn't it? I think Bison fans kind of understand the situation here.
Well, yeah, obviously it was the right move for him, and I think we do all along it was the right move for him. Even just financially, exposure, you're playing in the SEC, and now you're in the Final Four, and maybe that'll boost his NBA prospects. I don't know. I still think it comes down to other things, and if you got your team into the Final Four, like workouts and all those other things they evaluate on, very technical. But what a great story! What a great month for the family. I mean, their son Leaf throws the fourth best javelin in USC history. Little brother wins a state title at Devil's Lake, and Grant's now in the Final Four. I don't know if that's got to be the singular best 2-3 week span in a North Dakota sports family history. How's that?
I can't think of anything better. I mean, that's off the top of my head. That's about as good as it gets. Yeah, 2024.
There's a challenge out there. Let us know.
Yeah, 2024 has been good to the Nelson family, that is for sure. And you got to think, I mean, the stock for Grant has been unbelievable when they're talking about draft already. I mean, that you go from kind of, okay, well, he didn't maybe have the year that they wanted at Bama to all of a sudden top 10 draft pick. I don't know if that's going to happen come in July, but that's really
I don't think he's a top 10-er.
No, but
I don't think he's there.
Well, I mean, it gives ESPN something to talk about after he has the game that he had last week. But, you know, it's just kind of fun to be in that conversation on the First Take shows of the world is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you get your name on ESPN – and when they're talking about you, and the interesting thing before that, the game that got him all the splash, he played okay. I mean, he wasn't lighting it on fire, and all it took is the final 10 minutes of one game, and like, bam, here we are. It's like, sports is interesting, isn't it?
Well, I think when you play that much hustle defense, that's where NBA scouts are going to start talking to reporters going, hey, That showed me something, right? The block shots and all that.
Defense? Did you say defense in the NBA?
Thank you. Yeah, I think I answered my own question. That wasn't a rhetorical question, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I never thought I'd be pulling for Alabama and much of everything, but it's going to be hard not to pull for Bama tonight or tomorrow night.
Aren't the Timberwolves actually playing defense now?
That's why they're so much fun to watch. They are, you know, Rudy Gobert kind of does that. I mean, I've had more fun watching them and listening to them all year long. And I have in probably the last 10 years combined for the exact reason you said, because they play on both ends of the floor. And that is something we haven't really been able to say since probably 2004 when they made a run to the Western Conference Finals. That is for sure. So, All right, Jeff, I always appreciate you coming on. I can't wait for tomorrow morning's show on our sister station, 740 The Fan. Obviously, on Couch Potato Radio, I'll probably invite you back more and more to preview shows and whenever else news comes out of the world of college athletics, especially NDSU. We certainly love having you on.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Kolpak, you know him for all his Bison coverage throughout the years, really his family's Bison coverage with the Forum so many years. You know, his brother Dave and obviously his legendary father, Ed, and he just keeps that tradition going following Bison Athletics. And so fun to talk with him about Grant Nelson, which you're going to be able to hear right here on KFGO tomorrow night, Alabama taking on UConn. The first game that is, we probably are going to join that in progress after the Twins post-game show. First game is going to start off in the Fan. The Fan will have the Force tomorrow. So that's kind of how the scheduling goes as far as sports is concerned tomorrow here on KFGO and 740 The Fan. But we will have Twins baseball, obviously, game two of this three-game series against the Cleveland Guardians. And again, his golf show tomorrow morning on our sister station, 740 The Fan at 10 a.m. Tom Hoagie, Fargo native, professional golfer, going to be on with him. And Mark Johnson's going to be coming in and hanging out as well. So golf show 10 to 11, again, over on 740 The Fan. Thomas Fox is producing. I'm Derek Hansen. If you want to give us a call, 237-5948, you can text us 35270. Couch Potato Radio. Doug Lear. Yeah, Friday night. You're going to hear a lot of him on Friday night, getting you ready for the Outdoors Weekend coming up. Outdoors Live with Doug Lear coming up at 7 o'clock right after Couch Potato Radio with me, Derek Hansen, on the mighty 790 and 104.7 KFGO.
Well, I'll wrap it up here. Doug Lear, a little Friday night action going on. Outdoors Live getting ready for this weekend. Thomas Fox, Reggie Funk, thanks so much for producing. Do appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And again, Doug Lear coming up. Then it's KFGO Today. That'll be on the way. Looking back at our live and local shows throughout the day. Again, a busy sports schedule. We've got the Force tonight and tomorrow night over on The Fan. All the Final Four action to begin the day is going to start over on The Fan tomorrow afternoon at 1. We'll have Twins baseball. Minnesota Twins will try to get back in their winning ways coming up tomorrow afternoon. And that'll be 12:30 with the pregame show. 1:10 is the first pitch. Joe Ryan, who I thought, you know, Pablo looked great in the opener at Kansas City. Joe Ryan matched him, I think, the next day. I should say that Saturday, pitch for pitch. He looked really good.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can do that again this Saturday or tomorrow.
Losing Sonny hurts, but if Joe Ryan is who we thought right. Joe Ryan was, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, and the question then is Sunday, what are we going to get from Bailey Ober? Because I know
he has not been that great.
Well, he had a bad last start down in spring training, and then he came back and this first outing against a team that he does struggle against, including Bobby Witt Jr., got shelled early. That game was over pretty early on Easter. I mean, you're kind of sitting there with your family, myself, kind of, hey, we're going to catch the Twins, and that got over early. We were switching to basketball and the golf here in a very quick hurry the way that went. Speaking of that, next week, Thursday, it officially begins. Masters coverage. We'll have updates for you that there, yeah. Both 740 The Fan. So that's going to begin for you coming up as well next week. So it's a fun time of year as we wrap up the basketball season at the collegiate level. Obviously, focused on going on with the women going on tonight with a big matchup. I know everyone loves Caitlin Clark and but I'm a Minnesotan. I've been holding my nose, kind of watching the story, enjoying it quite a bit. So go Minnesota's very own Miss Deckers, Paige Deckers.
Paige Beckers.
Paige Beckers, yeah.
Hopkins.
Yeah.
Hopkins girl.
You're shaking your head, Reggie. Come on.
Well, she's so good.
Yeah. She honestly is.
I just can't. It surprises me how good some people are.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you watch film, like at what she does, she is so versatile. It is unbelievable defensively. People forget how good Beckers is defensively, and you could make an argument that Beckers is better than Clark. Now, I'm not saying she is, but you could definitely make that argument that Beckers could be in that contention with Clark as like one of the best college women's basketball players.
Oh, there's no question. And the biggest story is that no one's talking about it. South Carolina's undefeated.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to win the whole thing, and no one's talking about them because they're focused on the two individuals. So,
yeah.
Again, Doug Lear coming up. Thanks so much for being with us. You've been listening to Couch Potato Radio here on 104.7 KFGO FM Hope and the Mighty 790 KFGO Fargo.